And happy Easter, happy Resurrection Sunday. We even get a nice day to go with it. We don't always, but today we get a nice day to go with it. A nice day to continue your celebrations with friends and family throughout the rest of the day. I want you to take notice of the banner to your right. That's going to become important in just a couple of minutes. Some announcements. You can track my mental decline by watching the bulletin. So, on page 2 of the bulletin, you'll notice that the second hymn listed there is no number. So that is going to be number 242. Fortunately, it's in very close to 245, so it's just a couple of pages away. And Jeffrey will probably re-announce that at the time, too. But one more error on my list of errors. Today, we have our worship service. There is no coffee hands afterwards. And so, blessings on you as you depart for your activities for the day, and rejoicing in the Lord. And some of you get tomorrow off, too, as a holiday, so you get 2 days to rejoice in the Lord. On Tuesday, we'll be assisting at Salvation Army. I was also notified on Friday of the National Day of Prayer, and there are some flyers in the back and a poster. It is on May 1st at noon on the steps of the courthouse here in Virginia. Pastor Dan is going to be giving the message, and we've all enjoyed him and his faith and his vitality and his commitment to the causes of Jesus throughout our community. You might want to take advantage of that. There's a couple of other things in the bulletin that you can take note of coming up. And this week, if you got it in your bulletin or if you didn't get it in your bulletin, I spent some time this week putting in chronological order, to the best of my ability, with my declining mental status, chronological order of what happened on Sunday, the day of the resurrection, and who went where, and who saw what, and so forth. It is scattered through the four Gospels, and it's sort of hard to kind of keep it in order, what happened when. So I hope you enjoy that. I hope that is beneficial to you. I also have it in color-coded. If you're interested, just let me know. I can print one out that's color-coded. And you can see by the colors which Gospels it comes out of, each of those pieces come out of. I think that is... Oh, one more thing. In your bulletin is also the special missionary prayer focus for this week, and what I opted to do is include all of our foreign missions. You can pray for them one day at a time. And then special ministries that our church provides in our community area one day at a time as well, if you would consider praying for those this week as a special gift or a special celebration of Easter. With that in mind, would you stand with me and let us start our celebration with the call to worship. When the Sabbath was over, Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. As they entered the tomb, the angel said to the women, Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. The angel said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?
He is not here. He has risen."
And now it is our opportunity to continue our tradition. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Turn to 243.
Would you pray with me? We rejoice this morning, our Lord Jesus, for your victory, your redemption for us, your conquering death and the grave, your resurrection, your life today for us and in us. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our Lord, alive forevermore, thank you. And thank you for life for us forevermore. In your precious, victorious name, the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated.
Our first scripture is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. You can find that on 840 in your pew Bible. Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what was happening through Judah, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and dead. All the prophets testified about him, that everyone who believed in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. Our second reading is found in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, page 828 in the Pew Bible. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciples outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen laying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded by itself, separate from the linens. Finally, the other disciples, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had risen from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. "I have seen the Lord," she told them, that he had said these things to her. That's the reading of God's word.
Opportunity now for us to present our gifts and offerings to the Lord. And as I've mentioned before, what we believe here is that God speaks to his people about giving. And so whatever the Lord has laid on your heart, it is more important that we give with joy and gladness than it is anything else. Can I ask the ushers to come forward at this time? Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Lord, on this day where we celebrate the fact that you are alive, we thank you for our lives. And with joy in our hearts, we give to you what you have mentioned to us in our hearts. With joy and gladness, we ask that you receive it with joy and gladness. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to sing 744, but add a verse, Because He Lives. If you want to sing along with the last verse, you can do that and the chorus. Please be seated, and then we can turn to 245. Lo, in the grave he lay. 245. Savior, waiting the coming day,
Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose.
Would you pray with me this morning? It is just with extreme joy and gladness that we meet together to celebrate the greatest miracle, event of all time. You, Jesus, are alive forever. Because of that, Father God, we want to thank you and praise you because it is and was your power that raised Jesus, your Son, whom you love, your Son in whom you are well pleased. You raised him, yes, from the dead, but you raised him and seated him at your right hand to rule and reign with you forever. We exalt you, Father and Son, seated on the thrones in heaven forever and forever. Our request today is simple, Father, easy, straightforward. Give each of us today cause for rejoicing and cause for remembering. This day, we dedicate to remembering all that you have done and in rejoicing in the resurrection of Jesus, the Savior and Lord of the world, in whose name we seal it, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Another Easter hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, 242. Got a little bit of an intro to it. picture yourself in a large cathedral.
Isaiah 53, you're very familiar with. Isaiah 53 covers the life, in just one chapter, the life, the ministry, the torture, and the death of the Messiah. It even explains that the Messiah wasn't a handsome guy. It even explains that the Messiah was not charismatic, wasn't going to be charismatic. But Isaiah 53 ends there. But this is all good. Jesus purchased, through his blood, our redemption, Our justification, which simply means to be pardoned from all of our sins and freed. Isaiah 53 says that Jesus' passion brought us near to God, brought us peace with God, brought us sanctification, another fancy word that just simply means purified us, cleansed us. On Good Friday, at the death of Jesus, we have all that. Good stuff. Enough to praise God for. But on Good Friday, we have nothing more than that. That's it. And you might say, Mike, that's good enough. We've got it all. We've got redemption. We've got salvation. My answer is no. We don't have it all on Good Friday. Without Jesus' resurrection, we would be saved and stuck. And you said, stuck. What does that mean? Without the resurrection, and this is my word, we would be stuck in limbo forever. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And he who believes in me and lives shall never die. And then he asked a question to his disciples. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Well, Paul seems to have my opinion that the end of Good Friday, we didn't get it all. There's more to come. So in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 through 19, Paul says this, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is empty and futile. You are still in your sins. Those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope just in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. And that word pitied is variously translated depending on which version, translation of the New Testament you have. Sometimes it's translated hopeless, sometimes it's translated futile. What the Greek word is trying to express there is that without the resurrection, we are helpless, futile, hopeless, helpless, most to be pitied, the New International Version says. Because without the resurrection, we are saved and stuck. And you say, Mike, where are we stuck? The Old Testament word used is Gehenna. Stuck in a place where all of the redeemed people before the resurrection were being held safely, nicely. It's a good place, by the way. In fact, Jesus uses the word to the thief on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. It's a good place. But it's a temporary place. The word paradise used in the New Testament, only used twice, is an interesting word because it's not of Hebrew derivation and it's not of Greek derivation. It is a word taken from the Oriental culture, and it means or refers to visiting a beautiful garden for a temporary breath of fresh air and view of the beauty of the garden. So it's a great place, but it's not heaven. It's a holding place. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, Jesus is stuck in Gehenna. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, we're stuck in Gehenna. My word is we're stuck in limbo. It's a great place. It's a garden. It's beautiful. But because he lives, we move from paradise to heaven. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Because he lives, we move from paradise. Great place. You want to stay there? I want to go to heaven. I want to get out of paradise and get somewhere even better. Because he lives, we move from paradise to what the Bible calls Zoe life. And Zoe is a Greek word that says the full life of God. We move from limbo to the full life of God. Because he lives, we move from defective, perishable to imperishable. Because he lives, we move from dishonor to honor and glory with God our Father. Because he lives, we move from weakness to power. That is, we move from human weakness to the fullness of God's power. Because he lives, we move from natural life to supernatural life, spiritual life, God life. I know it's hard to imagine because we're not there. But when we get there, we are going to be so stunned by this new life that we will have in heaven. Because he lives, we move from mortal to immortal. Because he lives, we move from impoverished. And if you're sitting there thinking, I'm not impoverished, I've got a good income, we've got money in the bank and so forth. Impoverished means these conditions we live in, and you can read about the politics and the crime and everything else that's going on. Move from all of that to the inheritance of Jesus that we get as joint heirs with him. Because he lives, we move from agony, and we have those days of agony, don't we? We move from days of agony to days eternal of freedom to fullness of life. Every single day, forever, no pain, no sorrow, no agony, no frustration. Just fullness of life. This is all based on one simple thing. without the resurrection of Jesus, we don't get a new body. We only get a new eternal body to live with God because Jesus was raised from the dead. And so, we move from loneliness in paradise to fellowship with the Father, not just near to God as Isaiah 53 talks about it, but with God, with Jesus. Psalm 16:11 summarizes the results of the resurrection with these two words: pleasures forevermore. This is the resurrection. It is interesting to me that we talk about Christmas as a time that changed the world. It did. And we talk about Good Friday, a time that changed the world. It did. Easter Sunday changed the world. And it did. But as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, without the resurrection of Jesus, we're just stuck. So, who gets all of this? Who gets all these things and so much more? We read in the, or sang, in the hymn that we just sang, because he lives, Christ gives me now his peace and love. Now, because he lives. Because Jesus lives, he can live in me. So who gets this? Well, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 15 to say it's real simple. Believe in three things. Believe in the Most High God, our Father, Jesus' Father, our Father. Believe in Jesus, the Son of God, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Messiah. Number three, believe in the resurrection. I prefer to translate that word believe more precisely from the Greek, because believe, that word to us usually means intellectually believe. I believe God. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the resurrection. The Greek word really is trying to convey that we trust in God, that we trust in Jesus, that we trust in the resurrection, that we rely on God, that we rely on Jesus, that we rely on the resurrection. And I do. A great day for celebrating, and I trust that you do as well. Here endeth the word. And now just hopefully a little Mike humor, which is more like dad humor than anything else. I have a theory. This is Mike's theory. This isn't the word. This is Mike's theory. Mike's theory is this. When I face death, and there's a song that says, when death stands beside me, when I face death, what happens is, just as death is ready to grab me and pull me into hell, Jesus just reaches down and snatches me away before death can get its grip on me. I believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but not in paradise, in heaven, with Him forever. Amen.
Let us sing our final song, 258. Christ the Lord is risen today. 258.
The Lord bless you and keep you.